There are several ways drivers can save money on gas. One of them is called hypermiling.
Hypermiling could also be called momentum conservation, because that's the core of what you're doing.
And you're working your butt off right now.
It's hard work, it is.
I've tried a lot of hobbies. Now, I'm on the hunt for my next hobby, some common, some not so much. This week.
Back to Niles, where his gas warning light is on. Well, no worries.
That means I have 3 days left.
Hypermiling. You're listening to That's a Hobby. I squeeze every mile out of a gallon of gas in my cars to save some money, and just because I can. I try some safe and somewhat unsafe ways of making my gas-guzzling cars more efficient while trying not to be a victim of road rage. If you haven't listened to my episode on autocross, which is racing in parking lots, you should. Besides racing, I talk about my love for cars and a few of the cars I've owned, and why I gave up my German performance cars. Basically, they just cost too much money to maintain and run, including how much gas they used. My Mercedes, BMW, and Mini Cooper, and even my Acura, all use premium gas. They use premium gas, which is a higher octane gas, because that's how they're designed. It's not really a matter of using, quote, better gas. It comes down to mechanics and how the car is engineered to perform at its best, both performance and efficiency-wise. You can run regular or lower octane gas in these cars, but you actually don't end up saving any money, since the cars will just end up using more gas. Also, the cars will pollute more, so there's that. I didn't even know some cars needed premium gas until I owned one. Then it was just another thing I had to pay more for to enjoy the cars. Unfortunately, even getting a Japanese car like an Acura, like I have now, or a Lexus will not save you from having to buy premium gas. You can't really get a higher-end performance car without an engine designed to use higher octane gas. What you can do to ease the pain on your wallet is try hypermiling. Hypermiling, or energy-efficient driving, is basically a set of techniques to reduce your fuel consumption. Some are common and actually good for your car, and some are just dangerous and illegal. Hypermiling became a term and popular in the 2000s as gas prices shot up and energy efficiency became more commonplace.
Hypermiling, it's a new word, and now we know what it means.
And it actually became the word of the year in the Oxford Dictionary in 2008. Hypermilers were motivated by a combination of being green and saving money. Hypermiling also coincides with the popularity of the Toyota Prius, the de facto car of energy-efficient minded drivers. Thanks to the internet, communities of mileage geeks got together to share tips and tools, including electronic gauges to give live and average mileage readouts, which are standard on cars now. You'll see a theme that a lot of things are standard on cars now that came out of hypermiling. Like other hobbies I've talked about, competitions are an important part of the community.
Wayne is the reigning king of the gas mileage misers, known as hypermilers.
Including beating the EPA mileage numbers for cars by 30 to 100%. For example, a Kia rated for an average of 26 miles per gallon can get 45 miles per gallon consistently. Quote, "I'm trying to hit 50 miles per gallon. I don't know if this car is capable of it, but I'm trying to get there. It all adds up. It's kind of like a game to get a tenth of a mile up there." Unlike other car-related competition, races weren't to save time, but to get the highest miles per gallon numbers or the longest distance on one gas tank. It's kind of like that Seinfeld episode where Kramer takes a car on a test drive and they ride and ride until they're out of gas. You can see how this could lead to some less than safe and outright dangerous methods of saving gas.
Yeah, now the technique will raise your miles per gallon, but it could be dangerous and get you in trouble with the law.
We'll get to what some of those things are. But the Hypermiling Safety Foundation was created in 2008 to educate people looking into getting into energy-efficient driving safely and legally. When I heard I could potentially get 30% more out of my gas tank just by changing how I drove a bit, I was sold.
Hypermiling has a lot of little pieces to it.
Let's get to the hypermiling techniques. The first step to hypermiling successfully is being able to track your miles per gallon in real time and over a trip. Otherwise, it's kind of hard to tell what you're doing is working and how well it works. Yes, you can record the total distance traveled divided by how much gas you put in the car, but that's not really precise. And I like gadgets. So I bought a Bluetooth OBD2 adapter on eBay and waited for it to come from China. OBD2 is the computer connection that all cars have since 1996, and what mechanics use to figure out why your check engine light is on. My check engine light was on every car I owned until this Acura. You can buy readers to do the same thing, and you can buy Bluetooth readers to hook them up to your phone to get live readouts you need to figure out how efficiently you're driving. With my adapter and my iPhone mounted on the dash, I was ready to get started. The first category of hypermiling is maintenance. You've probably heard the easiest technique, which is properly inflating your tires. There's less friction because there's less contact between your tires and the pavement. Start by making sure they're inflated to what your car manual says. If you want to take it further, you can inflate them to the max inflation printed on your tire. Apparently, you can get up to 6% increase in your miles per gallon. I opted to fill mine to the max. Next, make sure your wheels are aligned properly. Otherwise, you're driving a car that's like those shopping carts with one bad wheel. You're constantly fighting it to go straight. The next category is reducing mass and improving aerodynamics. You know how cyclists wear spandex and hug their impossibly light bikes to go as fast as possible? Cars work the same way. Besides the shape of the car, accessories like roof racks produce drag and make cars use more energy to move. Removing those roof racks can increase your miles per gallon for up to 20%. Once you've stripped your car of any accessories, it's time to lose weight. The less your car weighs, the less energy it takes to move. The easiest way to do this is to take all the junk out of your trunk, from under your seats, and your door jams. For every 100 pounds you lose, you're looking at gaining 2% of miles per gallon. By the way, the weight includes drivers and passengers, so try to make friends with gymnasts instead of football players.
Some folks even gas up often and only as much as needed to reduce weight.
I took everything out except my spare tire, and I was usually the only one in the car, so I didn't really have anyone to kick out. You can take this to an extreme by taking out your back seats and spare tire. I thought it'd be strange to have a BMW with no rear seats, and knowing my luck, I wasn't going to drive without a spare tire. The next category is finding an efficient speed. Cars have a sweet spot when they cruise. Minimal throttle, and the best gearing, like when you find the right pace biking and you're moving so fast and you're not getting tired.
Now, a car is most fuel efficient at higher speeds because it's using higher gears and it's using momentum of the vehicle.
The most efficient speed varies from car to car, but they're usually in the 50 to 80 kilometer an hour range. You can see the challenge this creates on slower streets when they're 40 kilometers per hour and on highways with their 100 kilometer per hour speed limits. This is also a problem when there's traffic. Stop and go is the worst thing for efficiency. I didn't really have a choice here. I couldn't avoid rush hour traffic to and from work. I tried to find more efficient routes that took longer, where I wasn't sitting as much, but in the end I opted to get home sooner rather than save a few dollars. The next category is accelerating and braking.
Then there are the driving techniques. Here's where you get to the core of it.
Accelerating and braking efficiently is where you start to have an effect on other drivers and where I couldn't bring myself to continually ruin people's day. You can maximize your efficiency by accelerating and braking less. To do this, you accelerate quickly and then coast and minimize braking by leaving big gaps ahead of you. You can use cruise control if you find it hard to maintain a constant speed. Accelerating, braking, and accelerating again is typically the flow in traffic. If you've ever left a big gap in front of you in traffic, you know it drives people behind you crazy, and other drivers see it as an invitation to get in front of you. You can increase your chances of road rage by timing red lights, which means you slow down well ahead of the light and try to coast as slowly so you don't have to come to a full stop before it turns green. Accelerating from a full stop is less efficient than accelerating when you're already moving. When I tried this a few times, I could feel the people behind me thinking or yelling, "What is he doing? Why is he stopping so early? I'm gonna miss my turning light." The next category is coasting. Coasting is where you use minimal energy and you're still moving. And depending on how you coast, it might be illegal.
Mm-hmm. And I'm already gonna shut it down. This is an advanced technique.
He kills the engine whenever he can.
In a manual car, you could put it in neutral or ride the clutch. It's like when you stop pedaling on your bike and cruise without burning any calories. Riding in neutral is illegal in most places because it doesn't put you in a good position to start your car if you need to accelerate out of the way of something. I admit I did put my manual Mini in neutral to coast the red lights because they were predictable and I could anticipate when they turned green to put it back into gear. I couldn't bring myself to take it to the most extreme, which is turning off your car completely. This technique is used by only the most die-hard hypermilers. The next category is shutting off your engine completely. Shutting off your engine when you're stopped is a safer way of using no gas when you're at a long light. Turning your car off and on, though, does put more wear and tear on your starter, and can be annoying for people behind you if you're constantly turning your car off and on. But this technique works so well that over the last decade, car manufacturers have added auto shutoff to their cars to improve their advertised miles per gallon. If you listen for it, when a high-end car stops next to you at a light, you'll hear them automatically shut off and turn back on when the driver accelerates. I tried turning my car off and on manually a few times, but the thought of replacing an expensive starter on a German car scared me out of it. The next category is turning off your AC. Your AC adds a load up to 5 horsepower, so turning it off can save you some gas. Opening your windows increases drag, so it actually slows you down, like running with a parachute attached to you. To this day, I feel a bit of anxiety when I turn on the AC. The next category is drafting.
At higher speeds, the wind resistance is affecting the gas consumption.
You still see some people drafting behind 18-wheelers on the highway. The big trucks shield your car from the wind, meaning less drag for you and a higher miles per gallon. To get the 20-40% efficiency gains, you have to be 10 feet or closer to the truck, meaning you're tailgating and risking your life, and a traffic ticket. Said one police officer, "It's absolutely insane. If you're right behind a big truck, you can't see what's ahead, so your reaction time is compromised when the truck driver slams on his brakes. There's no margin for error." And the last category is body modifications. Besides removing things on and in your car, you can add things to reduce the drag and increase efficiency. You can add grille covers to the front of your car so that the air doesn't flow in and slow you down. This can lead to overheating, a problem I had in my BMW and Mini, which left me stranded on the side of a road more than once. Blocking the grille worked so well that some car manufacturers added automatic grille opening and closing to their most efficient car models, and others reduced their grille openings altogether. It's a bit counterintuitive, but the rear of your car has an impact on how efficient a car is. A popular modification among elite hypermilers is elongating the back of the car almost like a boat shape. It reduces turbulence at the back, reducing drag. Speaking of turbulence, the wheels cause turbulence as well, so adding wheel skirts to cover the rear wheels can help. Obviously, adding them to the front won't, since you have to turn. Honda and GM actually ended up adding wheel skirts to their early 2000s cars that were meant for efficiency. To reduce the drag under your car, you can always add a flat cover or tray. That is, if your car already doesn't have them. This is another feature manufacturers adopted and annoys me every time I try to change my oil and have to remove a bunch of plastic panels. So did I save any money?
We're here at the Alameda runway to test hypermiling.
Well, over the course of months, I tried the more aggressive techniques and tracked my miles per gallon.
It's more of a game. The sticker on his older Civic Hybrid says,
in the city, about 32 to 37.
And you're getting?
Right now I have 43. Earlier today I had 48.
While I did end up increasing my efficiency by 20 to 30%, it wasn't worth the stress and concentration. I couldn't even listen to music because I couldn't focus on my RPMs, keep an eye on traffic, and try to time the lights. At the end of the day, saving $10 to $20 a month was not worth the stress. It was like dieting where you count your calories for a month, only to get on the scale and see you've only lost 2 pounds.
Wow. Okay, seriously, wow. Miles, nobody's going to do this. I mean, no one is going to go through those lengths. It would be exhausting just driving one way to work.
The other realization I had was that I bought performance cars and treated them like tiny efficient cars that they weren't. I had to remind myself why I bought them in the first place. Knowing that I wouldn't keep them forever, or even longer than a year, I went back to enjoying driving them. To balance the money I spent on premium gas, I ended up biking to work regularly. Not only did I save money, but I was healthier and felt less guilty when I drove cars like I stole them.
So there's a theory that driving slower might actually save you fuel.
The simplest hypermiling tip that even the police support is simply driving the speed limit. In fact, during the gasoline crisis of the 70s in the States, speed limits were reduced to about 88 kilometers an hour to increase efficiency and reduce the demand for gas. I know, it's tough to do. If you're not used to driving 40 kilometers an hour, it can feel like you're moving backwards. But not only is it more efficient, it's actually a lot safer in the event of an accident. Hypermiling doesn't seem popular anymore. In the last 10 years, cars have become more efficient, hybrid sales have grown, and electric cars have changed the efficiency game. It also came to an end for me. I did enjoy the challenge and the technology involved. I like going down a rabbit hole on forums looking for charts to figure out the most efficient speeds for my cars. I did get caught up in the tracking and monitoring my mileage stats and trying to improve it. I'm kind of a tracking addict. I track my bike rides to and from work and try to figure out where I can improve. What I've learned from tracking, though, is that it leads me to making dumb decisions, like coasting with my engine cut off, or not stopping for stop signs on my bike and being called a goof by people waiting to cross. I know myself now, and I know a few dollars saved is not worth risking my life. Hey, listen, I want you to know that your time is valuable to me, and the fact that you spent it listening means a lot, so thank you. Please remember to subscribe wherever you listen, and maybe tell a friend or two. If you've tried this hobby or you have hobby ideas for me, let me know on Twitter or Instagram. See you next week.